It's Marketplace Tech for August 23rd. I'm Ben Johnson. This week, Elon Musk and over 100 other experts wrote a letter to the United Nations. And trust me when I say we have heard and seen this song and dance before. Plainly stated, the letter lays out an existential danger that unregulated artificial intelligence, if allowed to take the life of a human, would be a colossal mistake. Trying to stop humanity from making intelligent machines lethal is part of a really big idea. Not for nothing, Marketplace Tech has been on top of this idea. And so we're going to revisit some sound from our podcast, Codebreaker. It's from an episode called The Decisive Machine. In that episode, we talked to a guy who helps run the Future of Humanity Institute, which counts Elon Musk as one of its backers. At its head is Oxford professor Nick Bostrom. He's worried about how we program AI.
If one is asking about existential risks, like things that could destroy our entire future, then I think AI has to rank high. But whilst I think the development of machine superintelligence would pose significant existential risks, it also, if we get it right, could help prevent a lot of other existential risks.
Is it possible that we should be okay with the idea that once we create super intelligent machines, they get rid of humanity and actually end up displaying the morality that we have programmed into them? And, you know, we become their ancestors, and that's actually okay?
Well, I think that there might be both okay and non-okay ways for the future to be dominated by machine intelligence. We can conceive of superintelligences that could shape the future according to their preferences, and it would be complete loss. Say, a superintelligent AI whose only goal is to make as many paperclips as possible, you get the future filled up with paperclip factories.
What should the goals be then?
Instead of trying to explicitly describe some utopian end state, we would specify some process whereby the AI could figure out what it is that we would have wanted it to do. So suppose that you could give the AI the goal to do that which we would have asked it to do if we had 40,000 years, and then leverage the AI's superior intelligence to figure out exactly what that ideal implies.
Can you give a non-theoretical example of this?
No. So the...
You can't.
But if we just try to write down a list of all the things we care about, we will forget to list something, or we will poorly specify something. Imagine if there were a tribe of apes 10 million years ago and they were contemplating whether they should transition to become Homo sapiens. And you could imagine that they would think that this could be a great idea because why? Well, what would be so great about humans? You could have unlimited bananas. And it's true that we can have kind of unlimited bananas now, but there is also more to the human condition than that, that they might not even have thought of. And so similarly, I think there are potentially enormous values that are hard for us currently to fathom with our 3-pound lumpy brains that we use to think and feel and perceive values with.
Nick Bostrom of the Future of Humanity Institute there. You can get more of that conversation at codebreaker.codes. Cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and the new Bitcoin Cash have been riding high in recent weeks, around $4,000 per coin. But this week, unregulated forms of digital cash entered what some might call a correction. Digital currencies like this are fundamentally unregulated, think no support from the FDIC, but a lot of people still think they're the future. One of those people is Jalak Jobanputra. She's really interested in blockchain, a technology that helps Bitcoin work. Jobanputra has been investing in Bitcoin and the blockchain for years as managing partner and founder of Future Perfect Ventures. I caught up with her at a conference in Boston put on by MIT Technology Review called Business of the Blockchain earlier this year.
What I'm excited about is that the industry is developing much faster than I expected it to. Mm. If you just look at the challenges that the Bitcoin industry have had to overcome and the way they've handled them, shows a lot of promise.
Is blockchain going to replace radio frequency identification tags? How is blockchain going to be used in the physical world, you think?
Now, I don't think we need to replace all the technology that's out there, but this whole concept of having a ledger that's not hackable and also real-time kind of transparency, and where it could get really interesting with RFID tags and tracking on the blockchain is when you layer in the whole theory of smart contracts. So, you know, once something is tagged somewhere, it releases a certain amount of payment to a party automatically, but you know that that object is in that location, and it's the object that you're paying for, that you're supposed to be paying for, and it hasn't been swapped out with something else.
That what you just described reminded me of like the old days, the bad old days of like eBay, where you would like be paying for something, but you'd want to make sure that you were going to actually receive the thing that you were paying for, stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it could be used for anything. You know, right now we use escrow. And that's tying up a lot of capital. And it's not only capital, it's just mind share and how much time we spend thinking about this that is lost productivity that we just know that it's going to be taken care of. I mean, I was just reading that now luxury goods are being used by money launderers because, you know, banking has become so stringent. And so this issue of physical object verification, you know, is really important across the board.
Jalak Jobanputra of Future Perfect Ventures. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.